There are things we can measure and things we can only notice. For most of human history, the search for intelligence beyond ourselves has pointed outward, toward deep space, toward the possibility that somewhere, far enough away, something is looking back. But what if we've been looking in the wrong direction? Hidden inside that search is an assumption so familiar, we rarely examine it. That intelligence must be rare. That it exists somewhere else. Somewhere far away. And maybe that assumption is the very thing preventing us from seeing what's already here. Because at the center of this solar system is something that has existed for 4.5 billion years. Something every planet responds to. Something that continuously reaches outward through an invisible wind of charged particles moving in all directions. For most of human history, civilizations separated by oceans, centuries, and language arrived at a remarkably similar intuition that the sun was more than a physical object. Today we can measure it with extraordinary precision. And yet the question of what exactly we are looking at feels strangely absent from modern life. We know its temperature. We track its cycles. We photograph its surface in unprecedented detail. But somewhere along the way, many of the deeper questions simply disappeared. Episode 5, The Sun. Plasma may be one of the most important and least appreciated states of matter in the universe. But plasma is not rare. Much of what fills the space between the stars is plasma. The sun is plasma. The auroras moving across Earth's poles are plasma. Lightning is plasma. In fact, most of the visible universe exists in this state. Which means the strange thing is not plasma. The strange thing is us. Solid matter is the exception, not the rule. The Earth, the bodies we inhabit, this brief little pocket of condensed material we happen to call home. And if plasma is the dominant condition of the visible cosmos, perhaps we should pay closer attention to what it does. The reason plasma keeps reappearing in scientific conversations isn't simply because it's everywhere. It's because of the way it behaves. And the deeper researchers looked, the stranger its behavior became. Some of the earliest experiments produced observations that surprised even the scientists conducting them. Under certain conditions, plasma begins organizing itself into coherent structures. Researchers watched these formations collide, merge, separate, and reorganize themselves while maintaining surprisingly stable forms. Certain formations combined into larger structures. Others maintained their distance. In some experiments, plasmoids reportedly passed through barriers that should have disrupted them entirely, retaining their structure in ways researchers struggled to explain. A physicist named Winston Bostick was studying these phenomena in the 1950s and eventually described them as possessing remarkable powers of self-organization and preservation. The language around this becomes careful very quickly, because once matter begins exhibiting behaviors we associate with persistence, adaptation, organization, and the maintenance of form, our categories begin to feel less certain. What seems clear is that these systems are capable of forms of organization we did not expect to find. Whether that points toward life, intelligence, or something else entirely, remains an open question. What becomes difficult to ignore is that the question arises at all. And that uncertainty matters, because it suggests the universe may be doing something more interesting than simply assembling dead material into temporary structures. So let's apply that question to the sun itself. The sun is a plasma body. Every process happening within it occurs in this state. The same state that in laboratory conditions has demonstrated self-organization, persistence, and surprisingly complex behavior. And it is anything but static. For 4.5 billion years, immense currents of plasma have circulated through it without interruption. Some of what we observe remains genuinely strange. If the sun behaved only as a simple thermal system, its corona should cool as you move farther from the source. It doesn't. Its outer corona reaches temperatures of millions of degrees, far hotter than the surface below. And millions of simultaneous oscillations move across the sun continuously, the entire body rising and falling. This is not how most of us imagine a furnace. It is something closer to breathing. Every culture that developed independently of one another looked at the sun and reached for the same description. In Egypt, Ra, the radiant source from which order emerged. In the Vedic tradition, Surya was understood as both physical presence and pathway, the visible face of something that extended far beyond what the eye could reach. The Upanishads speak of light not as illumination, but as the underlying reality itself. And across the Hebrew scriptures, Christian writings, and the Quran, traditions that have disagreed, sometimes violently, on the most fundamental questions, the same image appears. God is light. Creation begins with light. Light upon light. Different languages, different histories, no shared conversation. The same recognition. I'm not suggesting these traditions were doing plasma physics, but I find myself genuinely unable to dismiss what it means that every independent attempt to describe what is most fundamental about reality, reach for the same image, the sun. If plasma at laboratory scale demonstrates something that resembles intelligence, and the sun is the largest plasma body in our immediate cosmos, then what the ancients were circling may have been more precise than we gave them credit for. A perception. And then there were the Kordilevsky clouds. In 1961, a Polish astronomer named Kordilevsky reported something unusual. At two specific points in the Earth-Moon system, positions where gravitational forces create a natural zone of stability, he observed faint clouds hovering in space. For decades, the observation was disputed. The clouds were too faint, too elusive, too easy to attribute to instrument error. Most astronomers set it aside. In 2018, a team of Hungarian astronomers confirmed them using polarimetric imaging and demonstrated that the clouds are real, ancient, possibly billions of years old. Two of them, symmetrically positioned, one preceding the moon in its orbit, one following. Holding their place in the geometry of this system with a patience that six decades of skepticism did not disturb. What makes this material interesting is that it behaves less like a cloud and more like a system. Within it, researchers have observed intricate internal structures capable of existing in multiple states at once. Gaseous, liquid, and crystalline regions, all contained within the same larger formation. Crystals liquefy. Liquids crystallize. Patterns emerge, dissolve, and reorganize. A single structure expressing multiple forms of matter simultaneously, held together in a dynamic state of relationship and exchange. This kind of plasma makes up the dust rings around Saturn. It exists in interplanetary and interstellar clouds. The lunar surface itself generates it. Dust particles charged by solar radiation, lifted and transported by electromagnetic forces rather than gravity alone. And it is present in these two clouds, suspended between us and the sun. This kind of dusty, complex plasma exhibits the same capacity for self-organization that Bostick documented, but with a level of structural complexity that goes considerably further. The standard picture of the universe tells us that systems tend toward disorder over time. Entropy. Things wind down. But in 1977, a chemist named Ilya Prigozhin received the Nobel Prize for demonstrating that open systems, systems with energy continuously flowing through them, can do the opposite. He called the structures they generate dissipative structures. The Kordilevsky clouds are open systems. The solar wind flows through them continuously. The researchers describing dusty plasma's self-organizing tendency were, without naming it, describing exactly what Prigozhin predicted. The conclusion some researchers have reached is this: complex self-organized plasma structures exhibit all the properties necessary to qualify as candidates for inorganic living matter. And given the levels of complexity involved, including quantum phenomena operating within them, it may be reasonable to consider whether they are not only alive in some functional sense, but intelligent. The Kordilevsky clouds are enormous. Together, 9 times the size of Earth. The potential computational complexity within structures of that scale, operating as unified plasma entities, is genuinely difficult to imagine. Some researchers have suggested it may exceed anything human civilization has produced or could produce. Which returns us to Fagin, to the satiety, the organizing consciousness that persists outside the physical body, moving through it temporarily rather than being generated by it. If we are plasma beings in a plasma universe, then perhaps what we call a body is simply the densest, most visible layer of what we actually are. Less a home than a temporary instrument. Something consciousness moves through rather than something it is. And once that possibility enters your thinking, the geometry of these clouds starts to feel strangely evocative. Two ancient plasma clouds suspended between ourselves and the central force of the solar system. Confirmed, almost entirely unexplored, positioned as though the system itself had arranged them there. And if the research is pointing where it appears to be pointing, these may be among the most complex, most intelligent structures in our immediate cosmos. Perhaps consciousness extends beyond the individual mind, into something larger, something distributed through the very fabric of the system we inhabit. Perhaps awareness participates through reality in ways we still barely understand. And from that perspective, the Kordalevsky clouds begin to feel like part of a larger living structure, connecting Earth, consciousness, and the sun itself. I find I can no longer look at the space between the Earth and the sun as empty. There is structure there, activity, relationship, and perhaps forms of organization we still don't fully understand how to recognize. And the sun is not isolated within all of this. Birkeland currents, immense electrical filaments moving through plasma, connect the sun to the planets within its system and may extend across distances that dwarf the solar system itself. Named after the Norwegian physicist Christian Birkeland, who first proposed that the auroras over Earth were evidence of electrical currents flowing between the Earth and the Sun. The idea was dismissed for decades. Later measurements confirmed he was right. What strikes me about these currents isn't only their scale, it's their shape. They don't spread evenly in all directions. They twist, they braid. They organize themselves into filaments. And that same geometry appears in places that seem completely unrelated. In nebula suspended between stars. In the branching networks beneath a forest floor. In the neural pathways of the human brain. Different materials, different scales, and the same organizing tendency keeps emerging. The deeper I followed those patterns, the more often they seemed to lead back to electricity. Even now, after centuries of study, physicists can describe electrical behavior mathematically with astonishing precision, while still admitting they do not fundamentally know what an electric field is. Not mathematically, ontologically. We know what electricity does. We build a civilization with it. But what it actually is, in and of itself, becomes far less clear the closer you look. The behavior is documented. The underlying nature remains unresolved. I find that oddly comforting, that beneath the forces modern life depends upon most completely, there is still mystery. And perhaps that mystery doesn't end with electricity. What interests me is the hierarchy that begins to emerge when these pieces are viewed together. The earth below, the clouds between, the sun above. The sun is not broadcasting into empty space. It is connected, continuously, to everything within its reach, and perhaps far beyond it. Birkeland currents stretch across distances that make the reach of our solar system feel intimate. The same tendency toward connection and relationship that appears within forests, neural networks, and plasma structures seems to extend outward as well. Every tradition that reached for the sun as the organizing intelligence of this world also understood it as participating in something beyond itself. And beyond the sun, something larger still. Something the episode is not going to name. Because you already have a word for it. And whatever word arrives for you in this moment is probably more precise than anything I could offer. What I will say is this. Every tradition that described the fundamental nature of reality as light, as an organizing, aware, generative presence, may have been perceiving exactly what was there. Because they were paying attention. Because they lived in a direct relationship with the forces that sustained them. Because they understood that life itself emerged from something larger than themselves. If consciousness is not isolated, if participation exists at scales larger than the individual body, then the boundary between ourselves and the cosmos begins to feel less absolute than we imagined. And perhaps this is why human beings have spent thousands of years looking toward the sun with something deeper than curiosity. Recognition of belonging, of relationship. The intuition that whatever moves through us, moves through everything around us. That beneath all the names we have given things, there may be a continuity we have been sensing all along. I'm Lindsay. Thanks for spending some time in the space between. I'll see you in the next one. If this series has opened something for you, please consider sharing it. Independent work like this relies on listeners to sustain it. And if you'd like to support it directly, you can find a link in the show notes. Additional information about this series can be found at spacebetween.fm.